Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Jules.
Hello, everybody.
Jules, my friend, on this auspicious day, we talk about a hell of a lot of things going on in the gaming industry, mainly the fact that Microsoft axed about 10 to 11,000 employees a few days ago, and a lot of people didn't realize that the knock-on effect affected 343 Industries and directly Halo. So there's a few things to talk about here about the reality of what's happening with Halo, the fact that the actual different parts of development that were affected. Microsoft said that the mass layoffs were in response to macroeconomic conditions and changing customer priorities, which is a hell of a
lot of buzzwords.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way of phrasing. We just wanted to get rid of a lot of people. So this did impact Bethesda and 343 Industries. Bethesda, it seems to be more related to some PR roles and community roles. But 343, it was a hell of a lot worse. Halo Infinite has lost a lot of the single player staff, a lot of people that were working on DLC for the upcoming DLC for the story campaign. And also, which is the thing that I kind of couldn't believe, Joseph Staten, who's the original Halo creator, who was brought back in 2020. To help sort of try and steer Halo Infinite back, try and get it back on course and everything. They've been removed from 343 Industries and they've been put back into Xbox Publishing. And they only came back in 2020. So it's like, that was a weird turnaround. What do you think about this? And I've got a quote from an ex-Halo developer.
Well, to be honest, hearing the news is quite gutting. I mean, all those poor people losing jobs at this time as well is not a good vibe. And it's just kind of ironic in a way that across the early 2000s all the way through the 2010s, every single big first-person shooter was marketed as being a Halo killer. But it turns out that Microsoft themselves are the Halo killer this time around.
Because the real haze.
Why do they hate Halo Infinite so much? They were going to push it out way before it was ready. Mm-hmm. We got the Craig Gate. Remember the awful graphics that were on there. The revamp, the redesign, the launch that had zero content and people got bored of straight away. The DLC updates that came out way too late with the season passes and stuff like that. It seems like every single step that Halo has made in the newest era that it's in has been the wrong one. And now it seems like there's even less support for it, so even less reason to play it. The longevity of this game is just in question now. And I feel terrible for the people that are probably working so hard to right the ship and make what is, and Microsoft keeps forgetting it, their flagship video game franchise into the right thing, and now that it just seems to be going off course.
Well, the thing
so
is
badly.
That they've got, like, there's a tiny little Master Chief emblem at the heart of every Xbox Series S and X. It's literally like lasered into the one part of the components on the inside of the console. So it's like, yes, this would be like Nintendo defunding Mario, or like choosing to not put as much behind Mario as they could. So there is a quote from a now ex-Halo Infinite developer, Patrick Wren, over on Twitter, who said, "The layoffs at 343 shouldn't have happened and Halo Infinite should be in a better state. The reason for both of those things is incompetent leadership up top during Halo Infinite's development, causing massive stress on those working working hard to make Halo the best it can be. The people I worked with every day were passionate about Halo and wanted to make something great for the fans. They helped push for a better Halo and got laid off for it. He says that devs are still working hard on Halo and just look at Forge. Be kind to them during this awful time. I feel like Forge is an incredible thing. The most recent version of Forge, if Halo 3 had that, would be legend. Like, it would just be held up as like, this is how you do custom map making. But they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't have the marketing budget. It's not like anyone really even knew it was out. Like, you started
random creations. It was just like, creations. Forge is now here. It's like, Halo also comes with Forge. It wasn't made into the big thing. Like, I remember when Halo 3 came around, in the marketing campaign lead up to it, the ability to create your own levels, maps, everything else, and different elements of your multiplayer online games was huge. And the fact that it led to such success that modes were retroactively, that were made by the community, retroactively put into the game as official things. Like, I think that SWAT was one of the weird examples where, when it came to Halo Anniversary, it had done so well as a custom multiplayer thing that was made by the community that they put it into Halo Anniversary as a game mode, meaning that the game actually shipped with one more mode than they ever did originally, and it was done by the fans, which is incredible.
Well,
and
now,
so why don't you market that better? Why don't you market? Yeah, this is for you. This is what you've been waiting for. They didn't, and it's just like, cool, Forge is here.
It's like, if you want
it. But they did it in the same announcement. Yeah. But they said, but you're not having four player split screen co-op.
There was,
and it's
all
like,
that stuff.
Why do that? Why shoot yourself in the foot by telling somebody you're not getting something, and then just being, but you will get Forge. It's like, no. Just say one post, you will get Forge.
Yes.
And then secondly, in a separate post away from that, a long way away from it, saying, sorry guys, you won't be getting that. Don't just go. It's like going up to somebody, punching them in the face, and then offering them a slice of cake afterwards. It's like, they're not going to want to eat the cake because you've just broken their mush.
And it's that thing of like the overall management of Halo. Like, if you go back to like Halo 5, there was that whole weird push towards esports. There was all the back and forth before that game came out about how many different things they were changing. The fact that you can now aim down sights and how that changes Halo, and you can float in midair and aim and everything like that. And I thought that it's this weird idea where they didn't really know what to do with Halo. And like one of the, if anyone follows Kirby Cart on YouTube, there's a great comparison of how old school Bungie would approach Halo development and the general ethos behind gameplay, and how 343 approach it, and the difference in the way that those teams go forward. And obviously that's edited together for like maximum humor and whatever, but there's still that idea of those old original trilogy documentaries, or even Halo Reach's stuff, the making of just a bunch of people having fun making a thing, and it got successful alongside that, rather than aiming for esports and aiming for maximum reach and whatever. And it just feels like, for Halo Infinite's case, you had the first time it was going free to play, and you didn't launch with Forge. Like, you could have had this
Launch with half of the stuff.
You could have had this whole economy that would have been self-sustaining, and people would have made maps, and it would have been free. And maybe then you could have charged for cosmetics and stuff. Because the whole thing that Ren says here about like the ridiculous level of management and everything, even at launch, we used to play a lot of Halo Infinite when it first came out, but even those menus and the customization options that you had were like threadbare. Like, it felt like they barely got anything off the ground that was worth investing in.
Do you remember when the game For Honor came out?
Yes.
And people said that this is the death of user interfaces because it was the most boring, most stripped back thing. And then to see Halo Infinite, a game that should be pumping you up to the nines with excitement, you're finally playing as Master Chief again after such a long wait, and it's just like, here's a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. Enjoy clicking through menus and having nothing to look at in between.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And just like in the way that they push you towards modes, like it took like months for them to get a decent list of all the modes that you could actually get. Everything about Infinite just feels really weird. Like when you said at the beginning about like the fact that it was pushed back, it was delayed a whole year, but that was only done like 2 months before it came, before the original release date. And it was when everyone was looking at that release trailer, like you said, with the Craig stuff, and everyone on mass going like, this is not ready for like mass consumption. This doesn't, if you compare it to a God of War or I guess Horizon at the time or whatever, like it's nowhere near the AAA level that it should be. And it does kind of call into question what the hell Xbox's management is, that it could get that far without anyone realizing, and then having to be like, oh, I guess another year or something.
My biggest problem with this entire streak of layoffs that they've done here is that this is a short-term solution but is creating a long-term problem. With this sort of negative PR and the fact that they've just fired a lot of PR people, it means that you're not going to be able to spin Halo in such a way going forward that it has a recognizable, and the name brand won't mean as much going forward. Because people are going to associate the faults, the issues like this. They have said, basically, by laying off all of these staff members working on Halo Infinite, that this is a game that now has a lifespan.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, we don't see a future in the people, therefore why should you see a future in this game? Mm-hmm. Now, going forward, that means when the next Halo comes out, it's probably going to have a smaller budget, smaller expectations, smaller demand. It basically goes down into this negative returns, where you're just basically going to go, this was once your biggest franchise that the Xbox ever had. And now you're basically just saying it's an afterthought.
I don't think they do more. I just, like, if you look, because there's the whole thing of, like, they haven't, like, canned the whole studio. People are still working on, assumedly, multiplayer stuff now, unless they'll just pick up the remnants of the story stuff. Apparently the art department was hit as well, so I guess whatever new ideas they had aren't going to necessarily come to fruition. But the fact that they've taken away Joseph Staten, for me, that's the smoking gun or whatever. Yeah, the linchpin. Yeah. Because it's like, you would assumedly do a whole new Halo with him from the ground up, and I assume that he's had a lot of hand in the story DLC. But there was that whole idea of like a 10-year plan or whatever for Halo Infinite. But I just don't know if they just kind of sunset the whole thing, to borrow a PR term, and just sort of go like, oh, it's just done. I mean, like, Halo hasn't been Halo for like 15 years or something. Like, if you compare the... People still get, like, talk about Halo, but, like, you talk about the rise of what it was like when Halo 3 was dropping. Like, that was next level. They never got anywhere near that again.
I'd say that it's like reaching ODST was sort of like the cutoff point for that is where great Halo games were made. Because when Halo 4 came out, my God, the sheer drop off of excitement that I had midway through that game, when I was like, oh my God, am I fighting the same enemy boss three times? And then together three times in a single fight. Oh, kill me now.
With some like weird iterative weapons that don't like feel that great. I'm a Halo 4 defender for the most part, but
I know you are. And I still love you, mate. I still love you.
It's like someone should. But I feel like under the guise of like it's like a, it was their first team, first try, whatever. Like, it's not terrible, but overall, though, it is one of those things where I think that it's done. I don't know where you go from here, and I feel like they'll just sort of trot out some multiplayer stuff, and that'll probably be about it. And I wanted to mention as well that all of this stuff comes in the wake of Ubisoft cancelling 3 unannounced games, and they just pushed Skull and Bones back a good few more months as well. They were attempting to save, or they are attempting to save, $215 million in development costs across the next 2 years. Alongside that, I saw Insider Gaming, Tom Henderson, later in this week, said that the big IP that they're teasing, the big thing that's going to get them back on track, is another crew game. It's another racing game called Project Orlando. Project Orlando.
Okay.
That's apparently going to be releasing as Motorfest. It seems like it's a crew-style game. But it just seems like, overall, the fact that Ubisoft and... I guess it's Ubisoft as a company, Halo as an IP, or 343, can be so rocky, is a hell of a thing. I did see Jeff Grubb talking about it on Giant Bomb, who themselves were also hit with layoffs. There's so many layoffs across the board this week. Jeff Grubb saying that because so many companies hired so much across the pandemic to get through that, that's what this is. They're kind of just shedding unnecessary weight, as horrible and cold as that is. It's actually the opposite of this. It's that they know they can operate without these extra people. But it's weird in the Microsoft case because they're trying to offer up $70 billion for Activision Blizzard, but they can't maintain their existing staff pool in theory.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation. I've always said to you and the public at large that the customer, the consumer, should never foot the bill for a video game's expenses. Like, if your water technology to create your puddles in your game costs you £13 million, I shouldn't be the one picking up the bill for that one.
Totally.
And it seems, unfortunately, that the developers are now experiencing the cutback of the video game glut, because we went through this period just before the pandemic hit of the over-the-top, mega-budget, blockbuster-style video games that were trying to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe of their ilk. It was just, oh, like, let's have money, let's just throw money at something and just create something utterly crazy. That is not a sustainable market. FIFA's experiencing that at the moment with the huge sort of rise of costs of licensing players' likenesses. It's got to the point now where Ultimate Team exists so that FIFA can exist.
Yeah.
And this is the future of gaming that we're looking at. These video game publishers have created monsters that can only demand more time, more resources, more money, but it cannot deliver when it comes to sales. And so they have to cut back on all of these things. So we're probably going to enter, going forward, either a real cut down of the big name IPs. They're just going to focus on 3 or 4 hit titles, and that's going to be all they do.
Maybe.
And the rise of the independent gamer is going to come back again, because it always ebbs and flows, that sort of thing.
I feel
sucks that the developers have to pay the price for this overreach of the publishers in the first place.
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff on the Ubisoft side is trend chasing. Like, it was in a little bit with Halo Infinite. It's like, how do we make this work? It's like, okay, we'll chase cosmetics, we'll chase the battle pass, we'll try and do those things, rather than sticking to their guns. And in the Ubisoft case, you know, it was Yves Guillemot saying, like, oh, the ball's in your court, to the devs, going, okay, make this work. And it's like, but the IPs you're attaching them to, I don't think that many people are getting out of bed that passionate about Skull and Bones. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe they are, maybe they're loving
one
Estefan.
Guy in a pirate suit just like wakes up and he's like, yarr, time to work on Skull and
come
Bones,
come on guys. I just don't buy that. Maybe that's true and God bless you, but I don't think that's the case necessarily. And obviously the backlash Ubisoft wide has happened this week, with a lot of devs just saying, like, don't even say that to us, you're the ones greenlighting these ideas and now we have to do it. To roll it back into Halo, it's like that idea of what even is Halo going forward. I just think you get rid of it and you do something else. Like, even Bungie have recently re-trademarked Marathon, which was their original name for Halo.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In the day. So I don't know if they'll do something separate. I think, actually, if I make a weird prediction, we'll get a Halo-style multiplayer shooter developed by Bungie on PlayStation. Because you have them owned by them anyway, and then Halo just weirdly disappears. I think that's like a weird reality of where we're at.
This is another thing that we've been seeing. Admittedly, the Callisto Protocol was not a good example of this, but we're seeing original devs go back to their ideas to take it away from the publishers that have basically ground them down into the soulless microtransaction gelatinous slop that gets fueled down. I mean, a really good success story is, and I keep getting the names confused, is it The Outer Worlds? The ones that was made by the Obsidian, who did...
Outer Worlds and Outer Wilds.
There we go.
The one.
I always get those two mixed up. Glad I got it right this time. Theirs was a huge success story. And I love it when you see devs just go, look, listen, hold my beer, this is actually how it's done. And if Bungie can do that with Marathon, then credit to them, because Lord knows we don't need another Destiny. I say that much.
That's done well enough at this point.
You can't deny it, but I can say I don't like it.
Totally. Imagine like the reality where Destiny is on stronger footing than Halo. Like that's kind of where we're at.
Weird. Like, yeah, what a weird world we're in.
It's gaming. Let us know what you think down in the comments below of the state of Halo in general and what you think of the layoffs and where you think Halo will go going forward. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
And I've been Jules Gill.
And we'll catch you next time. Subscribe to the WhatCulture Gaming Podcast. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a very quick ending there.
Do it now. Do it now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.